Good morning. I'm Judith. In common English, scripture, John 21, 1 through 17. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did. And there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord. He wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Let us pray. Lord God, let us not just hear your message this morning, but let our hearts receive it. Give us minds to understand it, and give us a will to apply it. You know we have need us today. It is your Spirit that breathes on us a fresh breath of life. Help us today to receive that new life. And all the beloved said, amen. So there's a lot that happens on the beach. It's not a vacation. Today we're continuing our series on beach reads. And I had no idea how active a beach could be when we first started this series. There's a lot that happens. When I think of the beach, I think of vacation. When the Bible thinks of beach, it's like, nope, we're getting to work. Today, we encounter a scripture that we've all encountered before, and we hear about Peter every time we hear this. How many of y'all have heard about Peter in this scripture to where he fails at the cross and denies Jesus three times, and then here Jesus three times says, "I love you"? We're not going over that today. Okay? We've heard it enough. We are going to use this scripture to show how communities are built. The very first thing we encounter in this scripture is Peter says, I don't know what to do. I'm going fishing. And immediately, seven or eight other people said, I'm going too. They built a community to where when they didn't know what to do, they returned to the things they did know. For them, it was fishing, and they didn't do it alone. When we don't know what to do, when our wits end, we go back and do the things we know to do, whether it be the things we encountered in the world or the things we encounter in Christ. That defines us. That's what defines us. If we don't know what to do and we return to our bed and we sleep, then that sleep is our core character. I'm not talking about depression. I don't want you mixing up mental health with knowing what to do. There are severe diagnoses that people have, and when they get in that state of diagnosis where it's escalated, they return to a point because of a diagnosis. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we're lost in the Word of God, when things go wrong in our lives, and we're like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to curl up in bed. Or I don't know what to do, I'm going to go to the bar and get a drink. Or I don't know what to do, I'm going to turn to this old habit that I had, or this old habit, or this thing. Or in Christ as a new creature, I don't know what to do, let me turn to the Word of God. I don't know what to do, let me turn to prayer. I don't know what to do. Let me turn to be a witness and serve other people. I don't know what to do. Let me turn to fellowship. That's what we're dealing with today. Peter didn't know what to do. He said, I know what I used to do. I used to be a fisherman. And immediately a community surrounded him. We speak a lot from the pulpit on how are we serving the community? What are we doing for the community? What are we doing for those outside the church? Well, today I'm asking you, what are you doing for those inside the church? We spend a lot of energy outside the doors serving other people, but who's encouraging us? Are we only receiving encouragement on Sunday morning? This beach scene sets a ground that we are supposed to fellowship more than just on Sunday morning, that we're supposed to be in fellowship more than just Sunday morning. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. If either of them falls down, the other can pick him up, but pity the one who falls and has no one to help them. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. If I'm out here and I'm serving the community alone, and something happens and I get discouraged, I'm alone in that discouragement. But if I know I have a brother or a sister or a sibling in Christ just a phone call away, then I can lay my burdens down. We gather together, and John Wesley called it class meetings, intentional places where we're gathering together in small groups to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to re-encourage one another. Peter was there. He was on the boat, and he's fishing. And it says he's naked. He was in his undergarments. It wasn't fully naked in a boat. It's the Jewish undergarments. When you take your robe off, there's undergarments. Undergarments. And John looks at him, says, that's Jesus. We get so caught up in the work, and we're looking at the next task and the next task. We need someone to remind us, we're doing this for Jesus. Look, there's Jesus. And how did Peter respond? He immediately wraps a cloak around him and jumps in the water. Now, it would have been easier for him to jump in the water just wearing his undergarments, wearing swim trunks. He's like, nope, let me get fully clothed and jumped in the water. And everyone else is like, I don't know what he's doing. We're in a boat. Why don't we just row to shore? But he had someone recall him back to the purpose. When we're out there and we're serving the community and we receive the derogatory comments and the bad names and, oh, how can you love them? Don't you realize you're loving sinners? Yes, that's what we're called to do. We need someone to remind us we're doing it for Jesus. Where do you receive your encouragement from? Are you banding together or are you doing it alone? Iron sharpens iron, so we are called to sharpen one another. We are here to not only encourage one another, but to restore each other when we lose sight of what Christ is doing, when we lose sight of why we're doing this. If all we do is just focus on the work and we lose sight of Christ, it's really easy to fall in discouragement. It's really easy to lose our way. It's really easy to let those people that speak ill of us to bring us down. Now, in my everyday job, outside of Sunday morning, I work in child welfare. And I have been called a kidnapper. I have been accused of tearing families apart. I have been called very derogatory comments from people that don't understand the system and people that have been in the system. My whole job, the whole reason I work there is I'm to reunite families. Families need help. There are reasons addiction is real and it breaks apart families. And we're there to safely reunite families. And to me, that's a ministry. It's a ministry to build up a healthy community and a family. But on days where I lose sight of Christ in that, and I lose sight of the hope in that, and I lose sight, I walk away discouraged and beat up and downput. And if it wasn't for other people lifting me up, hey, remember this. Hey, remember Jesus. Remember this purpose. Remember the hope behind it. We'd get really discouraged really fast. But it's those times where we restore one another. It's those times where we lift each other up and remember the purpose behind it, that Jesus is here to save. Jesus is here to restore. It took a lot of humility for Peter to jump in that water and to swim to shore. He didn't care what he looked like. He knew one thing. He was going to encounter Christ. We're not in this because of pride. We're not better than anyone else. We just happen to have a better relationship. And we're trying to help others have that same better relationship. There has to be a point to where we stop looking for salvation and we start looking for sanctification. I'm not returning to the cross because I need help, but I'm going to the cross to strengthen me and encourage me to do more for others. That I'm already living the life of Christ, but I want to grow in Christ. And that's where Peter was at in this relationship. That's where John was at in this relationship. And that's where we ought to be. That we can come to each other because we know that each one of us has a strong relationship with Christ, and we can confess our sins one to another, knowing that you're going to walk away and pray for me so I can be healed and not walk away and gossip to someone else and not talk bad about me and belittle me, but that you can know that each one of us has struggles and our struggles are real, and we can lay our burdens at each other's feet so that we can be siblings in Christ, encouraging one another, praying for one another. It takes humility to write a prayer on a card and have it spoken before an entire congregation. You're laying yourself bare saying, this is exactly what I have need of. But can we do that in our personal relationships? Do we have someone we do that with on a regular basis and not just on Sunday morning? Do we have a safe sanctuary outside of this sanctuary to where I have a group of people I can call on and say, I need help, knowing they'll be there for me? We can't settle for being a spectator. We have to jump. We have to come to the table. And we have to let other people into our lives. John Wesley set this example. Yes, he had a small group when he was in Cambridge University, Oxford University, and they were called a holiness group, and they were made fun of. But he didn't just keep it when he was in seminary. When he came to America, he came by himself. The first thing he did was he recognized he needed to build a community while he was reaching out to these colonies. He needed to build a community because when was John Wesley in America? What war was going on when John Wesley was in America? Thank you. The Evolutionary War, the Revolution. He was an Englishman who was proud to be an Englishman coming to America, not to become an American. He was remaining an Englishman. He was loyal to the crown. He was loyal to the English church, the Anglican church. He never sought to be anything other than an Anglican. And he needed a community. You have all these people revolting against England, revolting against the Anglican church because the Anglican church served the crown. And he's like, no, I'm here as a missionary. I'm here to give love. I'm here to give a new way of Christ. I need a community. And he came up with a very personal question on how we can build community. A question we can ask one another on a daily basis, every time we have a conversation. How is it with your soul? Where are you in the cross? Are you still centering around Jesus? What's got you down? And that one question brought an authentic accountability to small groups. And it lights a fire on us that when we're standing on the beach, we can realize that I just caught a bunch of fish and I'm bringing them to shore to Jesus. But that's not the same fish that Jesus is feeding me. Jesus already had fish. And Jesus also brought bread to nourish me. Because one watereth, another planteth, but it's Jesus that gives the increase. Everything we do is going to Christ. Everywhere we come from is coming from Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's there at the beginning, he's there with us now, and he's waiting for us at the end. Our district superintendent just did an entire trip from Western Oregon all the way back to Eastern Oregon into Western Idaho, meeting with congregations. And as soon as he got to Bend, yes, there's three B's and I mix them up, Bend, Oregon, which is the halfway point between Eastern and Western Oregon, every church, every Methodist congregation from that point until Nampa, Idaho, is a dying congregation. And we're looking for ways to revitalize and trying to come up with new methods. There is no new method. We're not going to find a new way to do church that's going to magically build the congregation. We have to go back to the old ways. And the old ways in the Methodist church is small groups, class meetings, a small group of people that get together and they're encouraging one another and revitalizing one another. Because we're not getting any younger. And that younger generation needs an accountability. They need to know there is encouragement. They need to know that they'll be strengthened in this journey. They need to know that they're not in it alone. It's the same message we had to receive. It's the same message we still want to receive. You are not alone. You are beloved. And Jesus cares for you. Your mission is important. Your ministry is important. And it starts with me picking up a phone and calling you, and you picking up a phone and calling someone else and saying, hey, what are you doing today? I have some bread. I'm coming over. And just developing a family of God. Not about salvation, sanctification, growing one another. We've already been to the cross. We've already sought forgiveness for our sins. When people ask what's next, oh, I don't need to go to church anymore. I've already repented. You need to go to church because you need a community. Where do you go to receive your encouragement? Where do you go to receive your edification? Because we can all have some wild ideas. We don't have to look any further than the internet to get a million wild ideas. But where do we go to receive truth, hope, love, faith? There's only one place, and we do it together. So as we leave out this week, as we journey on to our next steps, as we look forward, look in hope, look in community, look in what worked before. We don't need anything new. We need to be grounded in our faith, in what came before us. Let us go out prosperous in our journey, knowing we're not alone. Beloved, Christ is here for you. Christ is always be here for you. Let us pray. Lord, help us to be grounded as we leave the beach and walk forward into our wilderness. As we leave the moment of restoration and walk forward into sanctification, Lord, help us to realize we're not in it alone. Help us to build community. Lord, community starts with us, one person, breaking down the walls that guard our hearts and letting others in. Lord, help us to let others in. Help us to embrace one another. Help us to strengthen one another. And all the beloved said, Amen.